Hello, everyone. I'm Kevin Winder, and thanks for tuning in to another podcast of Beyond Everything Radio. And like always, I have a question for you. Do you enjoy going to work? Did you know that over half of the U.S. is unhappy at work? And most people conclude that that's because half the jobs are just not fun, or they're boring, or they offer poor pay. But in today's podcast, I'm going to reveal that the thing that makes us enjoy our work has little to do with the job we're doing or the amount of pay we receive. Success and achievement are not the same thing, and neither of them can make us happy at work. Today, I'm going to show how success is the byproduct of being happy, not the antecedent. So join me now as I reveal how enjoying our toil is an inside job that's not a skill to practice. Rather, it's a gift to be received. Hello, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in to another edition of Beyond Everything Radio. So glad to have you with me. My name is Kevin Winder. I'm your host. I serve the world as an online pastor, author, and uncoach, among many other things, just like you. I wear a lot of different hats. I'm so glad to have you here. Welcome to the program. And like I always say, welcome to Sunday. Folks, if you're tuning in to this online through Facebook or Twitter, I just want to invite you to go to my website and sign up for my weekly newsletter. It's called Winder's Windshield. Go to kevinwinder.com, K-E-V-E-N, spelled like the number 7, kevinwinder.com. Sign up for Winder's Windshield. Do that today. I'll be so happy if you do. Well, folks, today we're in part 3, and I don't know if we'll do 4, maybe we will. We're going to do part 3 today, though, for sure, of kind of an examination of wisdom that comes from the book of Ecclesiastes. This is not a Bible study per se, as you can already tell, but it is certainly a reflection of the wisdom that has been poured into what has been said to be the wisest man, as well as the wealthiest man who has ever lived. And so there's something that we need each and every day. And today we are going to talk about work, right? It's something we all have to do. And today's topic is called Wise Man Says, Enjoy Your Toil. Enjoy your toil. And man, I'll tell you, that for the better part of the first half of my life was something I just couldn't figure out. I toiled very, very hard. I often worked 2-3 jobs. I worked every single day of the week, trying to put enough money together to just get by, to pay off some huge debts. I barely seemed to make it, but somehow I did. And I could honestly tell you that at those times in my life, I did not enjoy my toil. But something happened along the way, and I'm going to tell that story at the end of this podcast, okay? And I want you to stick around for that because it was transformative, and I think it will help you, especially if you're struggling with your job, with your work, with your goals, with where you are in life. This post is for you. This wisdom is for you, and it's stuff you're not going to get everywhere. It's just not common wisdom. Did you know that over half of the U.S. workforce is unhappy at work? Now, that seems to be getting better. It used to be 53% around 2009. Now it's showing up at around 51%. That might be that people are starting to catch on, that the consciousness is rising in humanity. It might be that jobs are getting better, workplaces are getting better, things like that. But overall, people are happy with work about half the time. And, you know, there is a big difference between Friday afternoon and Monday morning, right? These are very different experiences. The 5 o'clock whistle blows and people are happy. The Monday morning alarm clock goes on and people are not. And for the vast majority of people, work is really just a means to an end, right? You're only working because you need to pay your bills. You're trying to keep the life that you have afloat, and you have to work to do it. It's a means to an end, right? If you won the lotto, you'd quit working, right? At least that's how most people frame it. Work is not an end in itself for most people. So our work seems like it's endless because there's always more work to do, right? It's repetitive and it's toil, and it's often perceived as being very devoid of meaning. And this is why people are unhappy at work. And, you know, just for you podcast listeners, Unhappiness is not the opposite of happy. Do you realize that? Unhappiness is not the opposite of happy. The opposite of happy is boredom. The opposite of happy is boredom. And that comes from Tim Ferriss years and years ago when he wrote his book called The 4-Hour Work Week. Something that stuck in my mind, and I'll tell you, it's wisdom that you need to have in your head. And I think the reason a lot of people are unhappy at work is partly because they're bored. They don't really have a deeper connection to anything they're doing other than, hey, this is going to help me buy that thing or pay that bill. And in many countries in our world, we realize, though, that there's just places that don't even have jobs, right? And this, that's a bigger problem than not liking your job. Not having a job is definitely a bigger problem, especially if you're someone who wants to work. And that realization kind of keeps Americans getting up each and every day. You know, you hear this a lot. At least I have a job. Kind of is that mental stopgap that keeps people showing up day after day to a job that they don't particularly enjoy. And it is true that having a higher education typically correlates to higher income jobs. And it does correlate that higher income jobs tend to be more enjoyable in some cases than others. But that is not so much the case anymore. Book knowledge does not open the doors that it once did, right? People are learning quite easily that now they paid for these super expensive multi-hundreds of thousands of dollar educations. They have these huge student loans and they get out and there's no real work. It didn't really advance them anywhere. Master's degree, let's go get more debt. And then what? You're at Starbucks, you're a barista, you're doing something else that you didn't require your education to do. This seems to be the reality, and who you know can often get us much further than what you know. Isn't that the truth? It's all about relationships. And so the recipe for success, all people talk about this all the time. Like, what does it take to be a success? How do you get ahead? More education? Not necessarily. A great trade school? Could help. Is it somebody you know? Yes. But if it's not those things, what is it? This has been proven time and time again. Are you ready for it? Positive attitude, a strong disposition of service will equal opportunity, right? Attitude plus service equals opportunity. Now, these are not skills that we can teach, or they're not really taught so much as they are dispositions that are caught. Now, if you pick any job in the world, from sign twirler to CEO, the person who really gets into their work with an attitude of service, an attitude of gratitude, this is the person that will always outperform those who merely execute the metrics of their work. Right? Am I right? You know that to be true. It doesn't matter what job you're doing. There's always somebody there who brings a great attitude and a heart of service. And when they do, they always outperform everybody else. They always find opportunity that the others miss. Think about that. That is the recipe for success, if you would have it. But what you're going to discover here is that attitude and service are the rails upon which promotion and higher pay and greater opportunity arrive. And all those things are what we seem to think make us happy at work. But that attitude in the heart of service, that's not just something you can put in a job description and say, hey, bring that, bring a great attitude. You know, in my leadership experience, I've always followed one little thing, and that is that excellence can never be commanded. It cannot be required. Excellence can only be inspired. It can only be inspired. It's an inside job, right? And so these vital ingredients of attitude and service and thanksgiving and gratitude for what you have, these are not aspects of the job that you do at work, right? It's not like just because you are an ambulance driver, you have gratitude, right? Because you're saving lives in the OR doesn't mean that you have meaning. I mean, yes, that's a very meaningful job, but it's not in the sense more meaningful than any other job that's out there. Each one of us plays a very vital role in our world. You see, these are characteristics of the soul. Success in this world is actually predicated upon what happens inside of you. What is going on in your soul? What is going on in your framework of thinking? Yeah, it's how you think. You will never live or work better than you think. And yes, there are exceptions. Yeah, there's people with crappy attitudes out there that are making a lot of money and seem to be having fun. There's corruption everywhere. People are not doing the right thing in any kind of way. And they seem to be doing very well for themselves. But make no mistake here, folks. Do not make the mistake of confusing achievement with success. They are not the same thing. Achievement is not the same thing as a success. Somebody who has a big 401k and a big paying job and lots of commissions and lots of free time who's a total jerk is not a success. That's a zero. If you have all these things in the world and you have not love, you missed the boat, folks. You have achievement, great, good for you, but no love? Sorry. You see, jobs give us a sense of purpose, and that's a good thing. To have a sense of purpose. Hey, I'm out in the world. I'm doing this work. I'm contributing to everybody's well-being and life in some way, right? But jobs also offer us, they kind of dangle it out there, an identity. And having a purpose is great, but if you gain your identity from work, that is actually the very definition of the loss of yourself. Do you realize that? Unfortunately, many people just go out there and they just take the identity of the job. So they really feel like I have to have this job, this title, this position, this income, this tax bracket, and then I will be somebody. And you see people going after that. And so if you're confused by my saying that if you derive your identity from work, which that being the loss of yourself, if that confuses you, then the chances are very good that you're what I call a climber in search of your identity, in search of validating the identity that you think you are. But let me just assure you, that's not who you are. You could lose it all tomorrow. A solar flare could blow out every single thing and everybody's job could be gone. And then what? Then who are you, right? That's not who you are. Your business card isn't who you are. It's what you do during the day. And that's it. You see, your ambition, just like mine, drives you on to attain higher levels of attainment, which so often we confuse with success. Attaining a new level might validate and shape our self-image. But if it does, then it means our soul is sick and it's out of tune. You see, work wasn't intended to name us. It wasn't intended to index us, but it does. So often it does. And when we allow it to do that, we begin to use external measurements to define who we are. And, you know, early in Solomon's life, we've been looking at Ecclesiastes and this wise man. He also was a climber. But unlike most of us, he had the resources to accomplish just about anything. And he did. I mean, it says that he built basically everything he could imagine. He denied his heart no pleasure, it says. All of this was really great, but it came with this really sobering reality. It's a discovery that only a few might actually find, but we see it all the time, right? And it's this discovery that says it was all just vanity. It was a chasing after the wind. Right? I mean, how many times do we see millionaires and celebrities and people who seem to have everything, but they're strapped with depression? They cannot enjoy all that they have. They struggle to find peace in mind, right? Because there's nobody that they believe anymore that actually cares for them. Everybody just wants a piece of their little entourage now, right? So yes, this is a reality. You get to the top if you're a climber and then you discover it was just vanity. Everything is just vanity. It's the ego. It's a pride factor. And there really wasn't much to be gained for Solomon as well as for us with all his wisdom and toil. Yeah, it was better to be wise than a fool. But in the end, his death was just as certain as the fool's death. And it's just as certain as yours and mine. You see, if you knew you were going to die in 48 hours, would you spend the rest of your time at work? Right? Blues Traveler sings this song that kind of gets at this idea that it's not It won't mean a thing in 100 years. Folks, it won't mean a thing in 100 years. And this is Solomon's wisdom, right? This is what he's saying. He's saying we're all going to be forgotten. Even those that we do remember, if we think about George Washington or whatever, the most part of their life, their thoughts, the way they saw the world, all of that is mostly unknown. We remember a few deeds. We remember a few buildings or bridges or something, maybe. But those don't endure forever. They might endure for a few hundred years, but never for a millennia, right? And while our minds and hearts yearn for greatness, timelessness, and even immortality, there's something about the scope of our life that we have to reconcile, the fact that it is coming to an end. And while it's coming to an end, it's going to fade off. So your best days might be ahead of you, but those best days will not last forever. And what will you do? You see, Solomon put it this way, we have but a few vain days under the sun. You see, Solomon learned that the greatest gift of God was not found in the big stuff, the ego projects, the raising of our flag of self-importance, right? These are all the things that work kind of brings to us. We think it's so important. I mean, we think work is so important that we are willing to have people raise our kids for us instead of us loving our kids. We think work is so important that we will spend hours and hours and hours away from our loved ones. We will not connect to family and to friends because why work? Oh, it's so important. But you know, Solomon shows us that is just vain wind grabbing. It's vain wind grabbing. It's a chasing after the wind. Listen to these verses out of Ecclesiastes 9, verses 9 through 11. Listen to this. His best advice is to enjoy life with the wife whom you love all the days of your vain life that God has given you under the sun, because that's your portion in life and in your toil at which you toil under the sun. Whatever your hand finds to do, do it with your might. For there is no work, there's no thought or knowledge or wisdom in Sheol, which is the place of the dead, to which you are going. Again, I saw that under the sun, the race is not to the swift, nor is the battle to the strong, nor is bread to the wise, nor are riches to the intelligent, nor favor to those with knowledge, but time and chance happen to them all. You see, folks, don't trade in that belief that achievement and success are the same thing. The wisdom to enjoy our life and toil is not insignificant. Solomon repeats this theme several times within the book of Ecclesiastes. And he also goes on to say that our ability to enjoy our toil is the gift of God. That's right. It's a gift. It's given to you. It's not earned. It's not something that you can practice and become better at. It's not a skill. It's a gift. And so to unpack what Solomon is actually saying here, we have to reflect upon the curse of Genesis 3, 17 through 19. You know, in the Jewish creation story, God punishes Adam and Eve for their sin, right? And he says that in pain you shall eat. By the sweat of your face you shall eat bread, right? So what Solomon is saying, that enjoying your toil, that's the gift that overthrows the curse. Yes, our toil is the curse. And it shows by the statistics that 50% of the world seems to be living under this curse still, unnecessarily, because the gift is given each and every moment. And see, the design is that we would all work all the days of our life. It's not this deferred life program that our modern idea of retirement seems to say. Oh yeah, you get out of school after working really, really hard to get your education. Then you go and you work really, really hard at a job. And then after 15 years, you get to be the manager of that job. And then after another 25 years, you get to retire and then go live your life and travel. And the whole time you're just spent on the flywheel. Really? That's it? No, no, no. The design is that we would all work all the days of our life, that we take our creative impulse and give it to the world in service and in joy and in love. And to take joy in our toil means that we have found acceptance in our lot, And the reverse of the curse begins, right? Acceptance is the gift that's given to each of us, each and every one of us, at each and every moment. But so often we just prefer resistance, don't we? Now, here's the story I told you at the beginning that I was going to tell about how this finally hit me in my life. I struggled. I was a climber, just like many of you. I wanted to obtain. I had big goals. I had huge ambitions. I had gone through school, but I was struggling in debt, and I tried and tried and tried to get liftoff, and I just couldn't. And I had a job where I was the driver and pumper of portable toilets. That is where I learned this lesson. I learned how to find joy in my toil. Now, let me tell you, folks, pumping portable toilets is a job that teaches humility. You cannot be the proud guy when you pull up with the smelliest truck in town and you pull out the magic wand, which is a giant vacuum, and you stick it into a portable toilet and you pull all of that smell and that filth out, right? And the lowest guy, the lowest worker on the construction site looks at you with pity, because he does not even want your job. And I can tell you that most people hate their job, and they do a horrible job at this. But this is an area of service. And I took it to heart, and I said, I am going to serve this role with all my might, like Solomon suggested. And I did. And I tell you, every time I came to a portable toilet, I would restore it to like new condition. I would level it so it wouldn't be cockeyed. I would clean it spotless with disinfectant. I would restock it. I would fix everything. I'd remove the graffiti, and I would make it a place that I would not be ashamed to go into. And one time I was finishing up, and I see this big construction worker coming my way. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he's just going to come in here and destroy it. And I just was like, man, I worked so hard on it, but you know what? That's what this is for. So I was just kind of like, whatever, I'm done. And he waved me down as I was driving by. And he said, man, can I just tell you that I'm a construction worker, and the biggest thing I hate about my job is that I have to rely on portable toilets. He says, you are the first service company, and your work has been the first time in my life that there's been a sense of dignity restored to that part of my job. And he says, I just want to say thank you, and please keep doing it. Now, at that moment, I realized my job has meaning. I didn't think it was. I thought it was the worst meaningless job in the world. But you know what I was doing? I was bringing dignity and humanity back. But I did not get that from the job itself, I assure you, folks. You don't learn that from pumping a toilet. You learn that by having soul work done on you. And this is what Solomon is saying. To enjoy your toil is an inside job. It's a gift of God. It reverses the curse for you. Now, if that takes place, folks, then your life will be different. And while it says enjoy your lot, it doesn't mean you're stuck there forever. What it means is that from that vantage point of service, from that vantage point of acceptance, opportunity will become visible. Before that, it's invisible. That's why people stuck in angry and hatred and can't do this and I don't like that, and they're always complaining all the time, never go anywhere. I mean, think about it, folks. Have you ever met a hater who's doing better than you? Have you ever met one? I've never met a hater doing any better than me. Never. You see, I accepted my lot with great joy, even though I had much toil. And it changed my workday. And they were like 15-hour workdays back then. So then and only then did my life begin to change. And folks, I promise you, that's how your life will begin to change too. You see, the gift has never stopped giving, as joy in my toil has never stopped, because I learned that it was an inside job, and I've been working on the inside ever since. See, the wisdom of Solomon allowed me to see opportunities and enter them with the same heart of service. And as I have done that, God has prospered every single endeavor in my life. And so, folks, if life is not what you had hoped it to be, As long as there is today, there is time to change. Because each and every moment is coming to you as a gift. Each and every moment is your gift to enjoy your toil. It is your chance to reframe your world. It is your chance to change your attitude, to get with the program, to learn how to serve, to put your pride down, to humble yourself. And when you do that, it says in Scripture many different places that God will raise you up. And so Solomon's wisdom reveals to us that the outside always conforms to what is going on the inside, not vice versa.